B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Van Vliet will take it up the floor. Van Vliet down to 12 seconds, 10 seconds. Waiting for Leonard. Leonard catches it on the logo, steps out. Guarded by Klay Thompson, 6 seconds with 5 seconds. Leonard right side stops, feeds Van Vliet. Van Vliet, one dribble, get the corner. Lowry is blocked by Draymond. The game's over! The game's over! The game is over! The Warriors have won! 106-105! Keep the lights on at Oracle. Dust those seats off. That old barn's got one more dance.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. There it is. We're going to start with the NBA last night. We're going to start with the NBA, the Kevin Durant injury, the fallout, and all the various pieces from that. Believe me, we will get to the Bruins. We will update you on David Ortiz. We will get to the Red Sox last night. We have a lot to get to today. Tomorrow.
Nice team.
Excuse me?
Nice team, the Red Sox. Nice team.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to that here coming up. But tomorrow and the next day, I figure, going to be pretty much wall-to-wall hockey. So we got to get out all of our other issues today. And so let's start with the NBA last night. And let's just start with the outcome of the game. Start with the outcome of the game, Maz. What were your thoughts there? Because that was a big one for you and your take rehab stint.
Yep.
You almost
had you.
You almost had us.
Yep, and I'm pissed at the Toronto Raptors as a result of it.
You should be.
Talk about an inability to close.
I still don't understand what you think you would have, even if the Raptors did win last night.
But what I would have is a winning bet.
So look,
that's what I would have. I bet on the Raptors.
I would not have given it to you. I wouldn't have given it to you. I don't know if Murray, would you have given it to him?
Hell no.
No. We'd still make you go to take rehab. But Maz would have, you know.
You would have won money.
When Curry, no, but not just that. He'd be able to say when Curry's on his own, he loses 4-1.
Boom.
And now he doesn't have it.
Nope, not yet.
Now he doesn't have it. And what you may have, Maz, is if
I may have worst case scenario.
If Golden State just holds serve at home, now you're in game 7, and I'm sorry, you still lose. Whether Golden State wins a championship or not.
No, I don't.
Maz,
you
go
totally
to game 7 of the finals, you're good enough to build around and be an NBA champion, especially when you've won a couple. Don't be silly. This is why we have the rehab on the table. If you take a team to game 7,
you got to win it.
Of the NBA finals, after having already 3 rings, you are good enough to build around as a number 1.
3 rings. He has one without Durant.
See, this is...
He has one without Durant.
This is why we're going to take rehab.
He has one without Durant, and again, he beat a depleted team.
Denial.
But I'll tell you what.
What if he wins here?
Let's stick... If he wins this series, then fine. I conceded that point, I believe.
You'll go to rehab.
Yeah, I'll go to rehab. I'll go.
But anyway, but last night you had a chance to really stick your ass.
Oh my gosh, what a collapse by the Raptors again. So they're chasing all game. They finally get the lead. They're up 6 with 3 minutes to go. And then after the Warriors obviously made a 3-pointer, and then Cousins got called for offensive goaltending. They're still up 3 with the ball. A 24-second violation? A 24-second violation.
That is a gag.
You don't even get the shot off? 24 seconds, you don't even get the shot off. And then, boom, 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 all of a sudden the Warriors start chucking in 3s because that's who the Warriors are. Their backcourt is one of the, and people have said this, and I don't think it's unfair or wrong to call them that. The best shooting backcourt in the history of the league. And they started splashing down shots. Fine. So then they get to 106-105, and they get the ball back. They get the ball back with a chance to win, and it goes behind the backboard on a shot. Did Draymond get a piece of that?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Believe me, I wish he didn't, because I would love to have Kyle Lowry hit the back of the backboard from the corner, but apparently Draymond Green got a finger on it.
But even so, under the circumstances, they didn't get a clean look. Kawhi Leonard got doubled.
You were down 1, and you're shooting a corner 3.
Right. But you know what? Even that part of it I can live with. They just didn't get a clean look. And they had Danny Green wide open on the right wing. He was wide open. The ball went left initially. Everybody flowed that way. If it had come back the other way, Green would have had a wide open look. They just couldn't execute it. They didn't execute properly.
They stayed away from Green last night because he was trash in that game.
But the big one was the 24-second violation.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Holy crap. You don't get a shot off in that spot. You don't get a shot off. What a mistake. What a colossal gag job on the part of the Raptors. Wow, what a collapse.
And it's because of that I'm now rooting for the Warriors. Just like that, the Warriors have become sympathetic, as has Kevin Durant with that injury, because he was forced back into this series because they're down 3-1 by the royal we. We're all complicit here in that injury last night. But more than that, the Raptors make me nauseous. And it was good to see what I thought about the Raptors come true last night. Their role players stink. They're inconsistent. Kyle Lowry, that last shot, like you said, Mike, I wish that Draymond Green didn't get a finger on it, because I still think it would have been that shot regardless. What we've seen here in this series so far from those guys like him, Siakam, Green, who played like 34 minutes and had 4 points last night, that's been the anomaly. Those guys are inconsistent. They're not that good. It's Kawhi Leonard and a bunch of iffy role players. So they gave it away. Their coach is an idiot and called that timeout and killed all of their momentum.
So how do you feel about that?
Oh, he's a moron.
Mistake.
Up 6-3, something left, and Golden State immediately goes on a 9-0 run.
Yeah, mistake.
How about that one?
Again, mistake. Just brutal decision-making down the stretch there. And again, you know what that is? That's a team that doesn't know how to close. That's a team that doesn't know how to close against a championship caliber opponent. They don't know.
And I think they are under the umbrella of the universal Toronto tightness. Like, that is a city and an area outside of the Blue Jays that is destined for failure time and time again, and I hope that that's coming to fruition. I'm over it. I'm over the Drake act. I'm over all the talk of Kawhi Leonard. I'm over Maz and his refusal to go to take rehab. I'm done with it. I hate their fans, and I get it. Look, I've been that moron, too, who's like, yeah, he's injured, yay, because you want the title, and it's so close. But even that was, like, unbecoming last night at that moment. You knew he was done.
That was gross.
Like, you people are disgusting. You're supposed to be nice, kind Canadians. So F them. I now hope the Warriors come back and win this series.
Me, too.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. How could you like that?
I'm take committed. The Durant injury. Oh, my God, that's so huge.
Brutal.
Oh, my God, that's so huge. What was my favorite was the headline in the New York Daily News. Headline in the New York Daily News read...
Oh, Knicks lose game 5 or something like that.
Knicks lose game 5 was the headline in the New York Daily News. Knicks lose game 5. Subhead, Durant goes down with Achilles injury, ruining everything, all caps, as Warriors avoid elimination. So I think you could easily say Celtics win game 5. Don't you think this is a huge thing for the Celtics? And not to cheer someone's injury. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I feel like I got a little too jubilant over someone's injury there. But if you really play it out, that's a win for the Celtics.
Huge break.
It's a win. Well, let me explain.
Please, because I've heard this and it just makes no sense to me.
Well,
go ahead.
This is, Maz, you tore your Achilles.
Yeah.
Something similar. Yeah. You're jacking a 3 with your 6'9" frame.
Yeah, I was blowing around Dana Barros when it happened, but yes.
This is a 9 to 12 month injury.
Yeah, for an NBA player, it's a long period of time.
9 to 12 month injury. He's done next year.
It looks that way.
So when we laid out the East last, and we say there's a scenario where Durant and Kyrie are in New York, Kawhi stays in Toronto, you still have Philly. Now if Durant's not playing next year, take out whatever team he's on in terms of being in your way. That's one fewer team in your way. So just start with that, Murray. It opens the doors ajar for next year. And that's just that's where I start, because wherever he had gone is immediately probably neck and neck with you, if not ahead of you, depending who goes with them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So now that team's out. See you in 2021.
Okay. What are the Celtics?
They're better than whatever team Durant was going to go to.
Well, so like to me, it's
Headcase Hayward and the kids?
I'm just telling you, you're right. Headcase Hayward and the kids would have lost to the Knicks with Durant. Now they're not losing to the Knicks. All I'm saying is if you're worried about them being a 3 or 4 seed, now they're a 2 or 3 seed. You just improved your seeding by 1. You will be home for an extra round in next year's playoffs. That's what I'm telling you.
There's no question.
Make the playoffs.
No, it's one less.
Would you stop it?
It's one less Jimmy. team to worry about.
Your seeding just increased by 1, and you will have one more series where you have home court advantage. That's not a small deal. Okay, that's 2 extra weeks of basketball. 1, 2. The obvious thing there is the Knicks will still go all in because they're desperate. They have to. They just have to wait a year. But if you're Kyrie Irving or you're whoever's going to join Kevin Durant, do you still want to go there for a year of purgatory?
No. No. So again, look, Kyrie may be going to Brooklyn, but let's just say it's whoever.
Whatever.
Kemba Walker. Take your pick. Whoever. No. No, I'm waiting. I'll sign him 1-1 somewhere, or I'll opt in for a year. I'll do what Durant is probably going to do, which is opt back into Golden State, rehab with the Warriors because you're already out there, and then hit free agency next summer.
The Knicks got porked last night.
They were easily the biggest losers.
Yeah. Porked, and if they lost, you won.
Yeah. No, no.
Easily. Here goes. Simple. Point A to point B.
Yeah, okay. They game.
All right. So I'm sorry, because I'm hearing this as a lot of people say, well, this now means that Kyrie's going to stay, which I don't believe for a second. Kyrie's
no,
not going to leave.
No, no, me neither.
Hold on, Jimmy.
Kyrie's gone. Are you kidding me? This doesn't change anything. Kyrie's going to one of the New York teams, whether it be Brooklyn or the Knicks.
Did he want to play with Durant or he wanted to be on his own?
I think he wanted to play with Durant.
So, look, I'm
so doesn't that change it? I mean, again, if the Knicks...
Yeah, the Knicks get
sure
screwed.
It does.
So
sure it does.
If the Knicks next year were going to be Durant and Kyrie Irving, and now they're going to be nothing...
What if they're Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis?
So that's a good one, Jimmy.
Thank you.
And they're just going to sit on Durant for a year?
Yep.
I mean, that would be something, wouldn't it? Because, you know, in theory, I suppose they could lose there. But whatever. Like, the whole thing is, you know, the whole thing is thrown into a state of uncertainty because of Durant. And if we're talking about the Celtics, hell, a week ago we were saying, holy crap, they could be like the 5 or 6 seed.
Yes, I'm just telling
Milwaukee's going to be good. Toronto's going to be good. But now do the opposite.
You just moved up. Exactly. What if Kawhi Leonard leaves?
Bingo.
The Knicks are now a non-factor. What if Kyrie's on his own with the Nets? You're now back to being like the 2 seed.
Or the 3, right. Depending on Philly.
And I'm sorry, I still do not believe in Milwaukee. You're better than Philly.
You know, they were this year, too.
What's that?
The Celtics.
Were better than Philly.
Yeah, and they finished behind them.
Yeah, but they would have beat them in the playoffs. Philly's a joke of a team. I don't know. You could
Your Celtics starting lineup next year is Terry Rozier, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and whoever they can get for a big to replace Horford and Baines.
No, they're like a 3 seed. Horford's leaving?
I think so. I think he's going to start ring chasing.
And Rozier's going to stay.
You see the report yesterday? They've started contract talks with him.
Ugh.
They've started contract talks with Terry Rozier.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm not.
You have to have someone play the position.
Well, right. They need a plan. You know, B
play
or C
Brad
or D or whatever it is. To me, I'm not surprised by this at all. They were going to go in another direction when they lost Kyrie.
I don't mean to be a Raptors fan and cheer the injury, but I'm just telling you, the Celtics won last night. If the New York Daily News headline was
Knicks lose Game Five.
You could say Celtics won Game 5, but we're not going to do that because we're not classless losers like they're in Toronto celebrating someone's injury, are we?
Maybe.
Yeah. I want to tell you about this. We will get to the Bruins later on in the show. You have a chance to win tickets to Game 7. How about them apples? Chances to win Game 7. How? Where? The Toucher and Rich Rally, which will be right here in the parking lot at 55 Morrissey Boulevard tomorrow morning. You'll have live music, cornhole, Connect 4, and other games. Someone in attendance is walking away with the hottest tickets in town. Again, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the parking lot of the Sports Hub, 55 Morrissey Boulevard. Take the red line to the JFK stop. Are we serious with that?
It's right there.
Didn't that thing run off the tracks this morning?
Well, you don't have to talk about that.
The Toucher and Rich Rally from your home of the Bruins, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So that's where you can win your tickets tomorrow. Show up to our parking lot tomorrow.
Or you might want to get off a stop early and walk.
And walk. All right, TNR tomorrow giving away tickets. How about them apples? Your calls on the NBA stuff right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Woj, what is the latest you were hearing about the severity of the injury to Kevin Durant?
Well, Ramona Shelburne and I are told that the Warriors believe that the MRI today will confirm a tear of Kevin Durant's right Achilles. You know, they're essentially just waiting on the severity of this injury. But this is, in all likelihood, going to be a significant injury that's going to keep him out for a long period of time, perhaps even next season if this is a complete tear.
That is a major deal. That's no small thing. It's like a whole NBA offseason is now up in flux, is now up in the air. Or it just changes the whole dynamic, the landscape.
No question.
massive. Do you blame the Warriors for playing them?
No, because I think ultimately it's Durant's decision. And if he thinks there's, you know, especially with free agency on the horizon, right, there's got to be a whole team of people he has that says, what are you risking here? And so my guess is that they were okay with it. And he went out there and, look, this is the reality of it. You're going to take a chance to win a championship? Fine. But, you know, I don't know. What you don't know is, did they push him?
Everyone pushed him. The team pushed him. The world pushed him. Yeah. We pushed him.
There was pushing.
Yeah.
And, you know, me, I told you this yesterday. When I watch a hockey game and a player goes hard into the boards, I think he's flopping just instinctively. And when a basketball player goes down and grab, I think he's faking. Just instinctively. And when he went down and I saw it, I'm like, he's not that hurt. He never wanted to come back. He said he'd come back, so he felt a little something, and he pulled up because he doesn't want to be in there.
And then you saw the replay.
And then I saw the replay. I'm like, he's fine.
Oh, really?
With the calf movement?
I know how you feel.
No. Look, I'm not telling you that they're making this up, but he tore his Achilles. I'm wrong. I'm just telling you, like, in my gut.
Yeah, yeah.
When I see a soccer player rolling around on the ground, I'm like, get up. You're fine. No one touched you. And when I see a hockey player go ass over tea kettle in a big game, I'm like, he probably could have done more with that. That's just my instinct. And when I see a basketball player go down, I'm like, you're fine.
I'm typically with you, but this was never a calf. This was never, ever a calf. This was always his Achilles. Or maybe it wasn't, then that was just going to structurally lead to the other. He should have never come back.
I mean, so you know, I think in retrospect, I think Murray's right. There was an Achilles element to that injury from the very beginning, which makes it mind-boggling they would send him out there. But at the same time, I would tell you, if he had a partial tear, it was probably going to rupture sooner or later anyway.
There's nothing you could do to heal it up?
I mean, I suppose you could go in and, you know, sew it. But, you know, I just think eventually it was going to pop. Like, and so to me, once you saw the calf, what looked like the spasm of it, like that was, oh boy, that's a bad sign. Because I remember, you know, they give you this test where they squeeze your calf and your foot moves. Because the calf is what is connected to the foot by the Achilles.
Yeah, no, I mean, the replay where his calf is vibrating.
Bad sign. Like, as soon as that happened, he went, oh, boy.
Yeah, no, I'm not telling you he's faking. I'm just telling you just my first thought was...
Get up.
He didn't want to come back in the first place. And now he's letting everyone know how hurt he is. So he's being dramatic about it because he doesn't want to be out here. And so now he's walking off the floor and he's done. And I'm just telling you, like, that's my first gut instinct. But no. He actually probably ruptured his Achilles and is gone all next year. That is a massive injury.
Oh, the Knicks. Dolan. Dolan with that dumbass interview. And yeah, we've talked to people and they thought they had it.
Knicks lose game five.
Oh my gosh, you tools.
Celtics win game five. Jay and Brockton, lead us off today. Go ahead, Jay. Jimmy, pop him up. Hi, Jay.
Hey, what's going on? So I'm thinking we let Kyrie walk and we sign Kemba Walker. I just wanted to know your guys' thoughts on that.
Okay, I'm not opposed. I'm not totally opposed to Terry Rozier. I'm not. And I think his comportment this year was deplorable. I think the way he carried himself was deplorable. I think the whole thing of you pumping him up, him buying the cheese, and then, you know, turn it into a bad thing. Like, I'm not in favor of how he handled himself last year. But I think he's a decent player. You come at a good price. And I don't know if you need the elite point guard to win. I mean, I don't know. Is Terry Rozier 75% of Kyrie Irving?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Oh, please.
75%? 75.
No.
I didn't say 95.
Mike, 75 is still pretty high.
No, I'm with Murray.
53%.
I was
going to
say maybe half.
Oh, stop.
Terry Rozier is a career backup point guard, or he is the starter on the worst NBA teams in the league.
I don't believe that.
You've seen what this guy did in the playoffs, or lack thereof, especially in road games. He blows.
He's not as bad as he was last year. He had a horrible year.
So look, maybe he's the wrong example. Kemba Walker's better. Can I pay less for my point guard and actually have a pro and someone who is with the program and get more out of it at the end of the day? Yes, that's my point.
And get more out of it. Yeah, sure. I still don't know if y'all have enough to win a championship, but you'll like the
team. Enough to win a championship with Kyrie here either, so what's the point?
Well, so that's true, but you might have been closer.
You need a big. Draft a point guard. Go get a big.
Okay, but now we're talking about different things. I'm just saying, you know, Kyrie, you need Kyrie to win a championship. I'm not looking to get back out of the second round, okay? So I'll start with that, where Kyrie took you this year. Wayne in Yarmouth. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, this is on the game last night. You guys are touching on it, but my God. What is the purpose for that timeout that Nurse called around 3 minutes when they had been on a great roll. The Warriors were gassed, and he gave them a timeout to regroup.
That is unbelievable.
And look what happened.
So his answer, Wayne, was that he thought his players were gassed, and I think you start with Kawhi Leonard because they play him so much and grind him into such, you know, such dirt that I think they have to give him blows. And so, I don't know, up six, 3 minutes left, you're going to call a timeout for the opponent?
I mean, stupid.
I mean, that's overthinking it. How about giving Kawhi Leonard a couple possessions off? You know, you can go offense, defense if you want or something like that. Do you need to call a full timeout and stop the momentum?
I mean, colossally stupid again. And then you turn the ball over on a 24-second violation. Like all of it, I just looked at it and said they crapped their pants. They completely imploded. They collapsed. They showed an inability to close the game out and to close the series out. Like, and you can't give that team another chance.
And Golden State wasn't, you know, they went on a nice flurry there to go from six down to three up. But then once they were three up, you mentioned this, Boogie Cousins on a illegal screen gave you a possession. He also goaltended. Maybe the ball was going in anyway.
And the backcourt on Draymond Green.
And then there was a backcourt. So it's like, it's not like they nailed down the thing either. They kept giving Toronto chances there at the very end.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Again, it was there for him. 6-point lead, 3 minutes to go. And then they were up three with under 2 minutes on the ball. And they didn't get a shot. They didn't get a shot. Holy crap, what a collapse.
Chris in Canton. Hi, Chris.
How's it going, guys? So two quick points on the Celtics. I know you guys mentioned Terry Rozier, but possibly with an extension. But I think that's all about, you know, that chatter about the Houston Rockets maybe doing a sign and trade for Eric Gordon or Clint Capella, whoever. Second point. I think if you stay in Pat, your starting point guard is on your roster. Why not go with Marcus Smart? If you're standing Pat, you still got the guys with length on the wing, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and then, you know, keeping Al.
Okay, would you rather have Terry Rozier or Marcus Smart as your starting everyday point guard?
Marcus Smart. At least I know what I'm getting defensively in terms of effort on every single play and all those little intangibles. He still can't shoot. He was better this year, but...
You know what? I'd take Smart, too. Because honestly, I think Smart does a better job running the offense on top of it. The ball moves better with Smart. He's just not looking for a shot. Rozier does. So you want to tell me you want Rozier on the team. Rozier's better than he played last year. He's not that bad.
So that's one point. And the second point is I can lose a little bit off of Kyrie's ceiling and still be a better team if I have a functional adult in that spot.
But I like the way the offense runs when Smart's on the floor. Smart generally makes good decisions with the basketball, generally. I mean, you know, he's a good passer. You know, he's not the most athletic guy in the world, but he makes good decisions, and he plays defense. I'll take that.
What does the Clint Capella reports tell you, Jimmy?
I think a lot of people are in on Clint Capella. I bet the Celtics are in it. I don't know that. But the problem with Clint Capella is he's got three career three-point attempts. So unless you're going to change the style, you're going to get awkward Clint Capella shooting threes again here in Boston.
But they're going after him because they think they're out of the Davis thing.
I don't think that they think that. Because what I think is, I think Davis wants the Lakers. I think he'd settle for a team that Kyrie Irving is on. But I think New Orleans wants Jason Tatum as the biggest asset out of all of this.
So this would all work if Kyrie wanted to stay here?
It could.
Right. If Kyrie wanted to stay, because you just said Anthony Davis wants to play with Kyrie, and the Pelicans want Jason Tatum. The problem Kyrie Irving doesn't want to be here.
Correct. But there's a scenario where the Pelicans say, well, the Spurs traded Kawhi Leonard to Toronto, which is where he didn't want to go. And if Jason Tatum is the piece that the Pelicans want, they'd just say, the heck with it. We'll trade Davis to the Celtics, and it's the Celtics' problem.
Yeah, porked. Celtics are porked. Like,
less porked after last night. That's all I'm telling you.
Well, so that's true, but I'm talking about Kyrie's gone. He's out. I'd be surprised at this stage if he came back. I'd be shocked, given the video last week at his neighborhood in New Jersey, the whole nine yards. Like, and I felt like the groundwork for this started getting laid a long time ago. I think he's gone. I think they're on to plan B, C, and Q.
We continue with your thoughts on this. Update the David Ortiz thing as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here's your David Ortiz update. His wife, Tiffany, released a statement saying that he underwent a second exploratory surgery last night at Mass General. So the plane landed from the DR, went to Mass General, had a second exploratory surgery. She sent out a statement where she thanked the doctors, thanked everyone for the outpouring of support and love and that we have received during this incredibly difficult time. We ask for privacy as David works towards recovery. She said Ortiz is stable, awake, and resting comfortably this morning in the ICU where he's expected to remain for the next several days. Leo Lopez, a close Ortiz family friend, said Tuesday by phone that David Ortiz is still in some pain at Mass General and will remain in intensive care for the next 48 hours. He said the family's doing well. They've been able to calm down since seeing him. You know how it is. Until you see the person, you're not really okay. And so there's that. Then there's this. The motive and why there was a hit put out for him and why he was the subject of an assassination attempt, which is basically what it is. We read you the Daily Mail thing yesterday about they believe, according to multiple sources, he was in a relationship with a woman who's married to a drug lord down there. There's a follow-up report in the Dominican Republic newspaper called Diario Libre.
Yeah, I think it's basically Free Press. I think that's what the name of it is, okay. Translated.
So this is the main newspaper of the Dominican Republic. And this was in Spanish. Maz put it through his Google Translator.
Yep.
So it's going to sound goofy because it's, you know, the verbs are all off, the tenses are all off, but you'll get the gist of it.
I think, like you said, I think it's one of the bigger papers down there based on the little research I did.
So the headline says David Ortiz had been warned that his life was in danger. According to information obtained by Diario Libre, the ex-Palotero, whatever, would be seeing a woman related to alleged drug trafficker. Okay, so again, the verb tenses are off, but it says the investigations into the attack against David Ortiz are moving fast. The Attorney General John Rodriguez had already warned this morning that the case did not correspond to a robbery or an action of street violence. Everything pointed to the fact that it was a personal settling of accounts. Big Poppy's friends count, asking absolute confidentiality, that they had already warned him of the danger he was running. Ortiz would be seeing a woman related to a suspect being involved in matters related to the world of drugs. Despite the warnings from his inner circle, these sources comment, Ortiz continued to frequent the company of the woman. This would have incited crime. Okay, so again, that's through the Google Translator.
Sure.
Very simply put, that they believe it was something related to this. Carrying on with a relationship with a woman related to someone in the drug world in the Dominican Republic, he had been warned of his safety as well.
Right. I mean, basically consistent with what the Daily Mail said yesterday. And so, look, I just think that as this thing goes on, it's not going to be, there are going to be details that come out that are not going to be flattering to Ortiz.
Does it change anything?
I mean, not a ton for me, no.
In terms of what?
In terms of how you view it. In terms of his victim status, how's that?
No, because I don't condone someone being shot.
Right. Exactly right.
I mean, for men, we've said it before a million times. What a beef stem from? Typically money or women. But it's not anything you should be shot over.
Exactly. No matter what he's done. And that's not, if we find out he's doing something really bad other than just keeping bad company, which, may be just the case that he runs in a dangerous circle of people. That's nothing to be shot over. Or even carrying on an affair. That's nothing to be shot over. You should.
And you catch a beating. That's one.
Or
thing,
you get you scorned, or you get called out for it, or you get shamed, or whatever. You know, there's consequences for that. What rises to the level of having someone come up behind you and shoot you in the back?
Well, right. I mean, again, it's so there's no justification for it, really, no matter what it is. But they, you know, it felt like, as the story says, a personal settling of accounts. And again, that's a translated version. But that's what it felt like. It felt like something personal. I mean, again, you know, it was somebody walks up behind someone and shoots him in the back in the middle of a bar. And the other thing is, the more I think about it, Murray, you touched on this yesterday. It was in the back. If they, if they really wanted to get aggressive, they'd have shot in the head. And I'm not saying that they weren't aggressive. That came out wrong. That was stupid. So,
you think this was maybe more a message than anything else?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. And maybe they wanted to, you know, I don't know, paralyze him or damage him in some way. Because, again, your spine's back there. I don't know. He's lucky. I mean, he's really, really lucky. But, you know, I can't help but wonder if this was a message.
So some
of
message.
Of some sort, whether that is true or not.
Some message. How about that? But to me, these details don't change anything. He's still a victim. I mean, in other words, you know... You shouldn't be shot in the back for carrying on with an affair. I mean, that ain't right, but that doesn't mean you get shot in the back. So to me, the details have changed nothing for me that have come out so far. But, you know, they're going to be reported. We're going to report him. He's a public figure. It's part of the story. And so that's that. And, you know, we'll continue to delve into it as those things become available. Meanwhile, his good friend Pedro Martinez was on TBS last night as part of their baseball coverage and really had a really interesting spot. Here's about a minute and a half of it. Pedro Martinez last night on TBS.
I don't have enough words to describe who David is, what David means to baseball. But I'm so disappointed to know that someone like David, who saved so many lives, can have someone after his life. And I'm sorry, I get. I'm sorry, but it hurts me. It hurts me. A guy that saves lives, and I'm sorry, reach a level that everybody that works, everybody that goes out there every day wants to reach. Whoever works, whoever gets to any job wants to get to what David got, to success in life, to be a role model, to be that person that everybody wants to see and wants to hug. And to see someone just want to take his life away is in such a coward way. It bothers me. It bothers me deeply. And I feel for David like a brother, like a family member, like a colleague, a teammate. My relationship, I know, is beyond what everybody else gets, but I just can't take it.
That was Pedro last night on TBS.
Yeah, and the thing that struck me about it is Pedro's, you know, obviously he's got a closer relationship with Ortiz, and, you know, they were very close, particularly in the later years they got closer. The other thing is he's got unbelievable pride for his country. So the idea that someone would do this there to Ortiz, given what Ortiz is, to me, that's a lot of, you know, a significant part of where his, you know, his hurt is coming from.
It's disappointment in the DR.
Absolutely. No question, Murray. I mean,
read that book that came out about him a couple of years ago. It's like part of it. It's like a love letter to the Dominican Republic.
So he has an unbelievable amount of pride for his country. He really does. And so I think that part of the reason he's taken it so hard is because he looks at it and goes, really, this is what we are. This is what we are. A guy like him who, you know, makes it big, is a role model, you know, gives back to the community, gives back to the country, all of that. And someone goes out of their way to shoot him in the back. So but I can understand why Pedro would be hurt by that. It's consistent with who he is.
Okay, so there's your David Ortiz update. You want to weigh in on that? You can. Back to the phones. Long commercial-free segment next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Durant off the screen, gets Ibaka as his defender. Durant goes to work, ball knocked away. Durant's hurt. He's hurt. He's hobbling off on the break. Ibaka goes up and got fouled by Livingston.
He's holding his right leg.
Yep.
And it looks like in the same place. I don't want to speculate.
People are cheering an injury.
It's not good.
Timeout Warriors. Kevin Durant gets up and he is limping badly. And people are cheering. Really?
Oh.
That's what you're doing?
Yeah. He's going right to the dressing room, Tim.
Serge Ibaka trying to get people to calm down. And Kevin Durant's night, I believe, is done.
How'd you feel about him cheering up there?
Oh, brutal. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. Like, you know, a guy gets hurt, and again, this wasn't just a sprained ankle or say, you know, I mean, not that they could necessarily know that, but even so, you had an idea. Like, it's just tackless. Tackless. You rooted another guy getting hurt. It's as tackless as it gets.
Low. Brutal. Low grade. Low class.
And you knew it was major, too. That was the thing. And look, I get it. That area is thirsty for a championship. Very much so. And they want their first with the Raptors. But be better than that. You're Canadian, too, to
And good for the Raptors players shutting him up. The Raptor players, Ibaka and Lowry, were, you know, trying to get people to quiet down.
Because they knew.
Oh, God. I mean, what's not to know there?
They knew.
All right, back to your thoughts. Here's Michael in Boston on Durant. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. So I have a medical background, and I could definitely comment on it. Before I get into that, I also have personally seen someone with their Achilles. And to put in perspective how serious it is, it was kickboxing. It sounds like someone's popping a bottle of champagne. It's
okay, Michael.
Loud.
So what's your point, quickly?
So basically, I know Tony said he thinks that there might have been a problem with his Achilles beforehand that we didn't know about. I mean, he could be right. Obviously, I don't know that. Just an MRI.
The phone's just not going to make it, Mike. I'm sorry. It's not. I don't know what, you know. You think that it was already on the verge of blowing?
I mean, my guess is that the initial injury was related to the Achilles, and they knew it. And they took a chance and said, well, you know, what's the likelihood that it would blow out? Nah, not great. You know, I don't know, 20% or whatever number they gave him. They said, well, let's play it. That'll be all right.
So you think it was never the calf?
I don't think it was the calf. I think Murray's right. Like, you go back when he first did it, he grabbed the Achilles area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, you can see him even doing it here. He's grabbing that area right behind the ankle, that big tendon there that we all know is there. And again, when that calf moved the way it did, I don't know how you look at that and go, uh-oh.
Russell in North Carolina. Yes, Russell.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, thank you. So I had a question and a comment. So with regards to Kevin Durant hurting his Achilles and that being a major injury, do you guys think he'll ever be back to, like, the all-star form that he was before the injury? And if you were a GM, would you want to sign him to a max contract after the injury?
Okay.
And I personally injured my Achilles as well. I'm 2 years in a couple of weeks from now, and I'm still not the same.
Okay, Russell. Russell, good luck with that. We're not going to – God, can you talk about an injury without people calling up and giving you their own personal freaking thing?
Nope. It happens all the time.
Oh,
it's so annoying.
Please, I don't want to hear it.
You should know better by now.
And this is funny. I'm a doctor. I've experienced. I don't care. Please. This isn't story time. I don't mean to yell at you, but God. Will he ever be the same?
Good question.
I mean, who's come back from an Achilles and been the same before he hurt his Achilles? They're saying it's now the worst thing left because they've gotten pretty good with ACLs. You can really repair an ACL and get back to what you were, if not better.
I mean, Kobe Bryant did it, but he was older when he did it.
Achilles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, I'd have to look at that. That's a good question. I just think it has something to do with where it is. Like, it's just one of those that it connects your foot to your leg, basically. I mean, all of a sudden, things change. He's not going to be as explosive as he was before.
I'm just saying that's one that still leaves a mark. The ACLs are different than they used to be. The Achilles is still the Achilles.
Yes. Look at how bad Boogie Cousins has played.
Yeah, but, you know, he also is fat and out of shape. But you're right, Jimmy. You're not wrong to bring it up. So, look, I think it's a legit question. Durant's not he's not like he's 22. I mean, so he's a little older. He's very lean, so that I think helps him. There's not a lot of weight there that he's carrying. I think that helps, and he's a skill player who can really shoot, so that helps him. Like, you know, he's going to be good again. The question is he going to be quite the same? And that's a hard one to answer.
And how long is it going to take? Does that push back the whole thing a year, which is possible? And even if it doesn't, even if the Knicks go ahead and sign him, and he's you don't have to worry about the Knicks next year. You get two whole year. You get a whole nother season anyway. A whole nother season without Durant being in your way in the East. That's not a small deal. That is not a small. The Celtics won last night.
I mean, even if he comes back and plays, let's call it the final quarter or third of next season, he's not going to be right.
No.
It's going to take a while.
In the meantime, his team's going to be a sixth seed, and he's, you know, it's going to be, it's next year's done.
Yeah.
Whether he comes back and plays a little bit or not.
I mean, if I were him, I'd stay with Golden State.
Jay in the car, give me an Ortiz thought.
Hey, yeah, I feel bad, but I don't. You know, I feel bad because, like you guys said, no one needs to get shot in the back. I don't feel bad because he's David Ortiz. What's he doing messing around with a drug lord's wife when he could be over here pulling soccer moms out of the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru?
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Like shooting fish out of a barrel, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Jay. Does it change it that David's running with a dangerous crowd? I mean, let's just say that at the least that that's what's going on, that he's going back and hanging in a dangerous world.
I mean, I need to know more. In and of itself, not necessarily.
My answer is no.
Yeah, in and of itself, not necessarily. But, you know, again, I don't know the depth of his involvement if he's hanging around with people. That's all I'm saying. So, but in and of itself, no, because this in a lot of ways is not unlike guys who grew up in bad areas.
Yes.
Play pro sports and then go back and have a hard time breaking the bonds. It's really not that different because the Dominican is, you know, is poor, it's a tough place to grow up and live. So, you know, some of those relationships are forged early on. So, look, we can sit here and say no big deal. You know, you just walk away. They can't walk away.
Dan in Grafton, your thoughts?
Yeah, how you doing, boys?
Good, Dan. What do you got?
I got a couple of thoughts. One, that David Ortiz, you know, I'm not the greatest ball in the package, but that was definitely a warning. Because if they wanted him dead, they would have shot him in the head, right?
Okay, what's second?
Whose team is it going to be next year? Hayward's?
Whose team is this going to be next year? Yeah, whose team is it? That's a good question. Celtics question.
Well, if Horford's here, it's Horford's.
Whose team is it? Is he that guy? Is he?
Well, but who else would it be?
If it's Tatum or Brown still here, flip a coin there. I don't think it's Hayward because I still think he's a...
It's Hayward's team because Hayward's attached to the coach.
Yeah, it's Hayward's team.
What about Smart?
No, role player.
No, he should have been more of a leader this year, and no one accepted that.
I know, so I'm not talking...
Horford and Smart are role players.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about who the best player is. I'm talking about who their leader is.
Yeah, but doesn't it have to be the same guy, generally?
Gordon Hayward's their leader.
Over time.
Which really means it's Penelope.
Penelope, yeah.
Oh, they're so screwed.
I mean, if we're talking about it, I see what you mean. Boy, if that's the case, they're in trouble.
I mean, the guy that leads the way is generally the best player. It's the guy you build around, and that's who sets the tone, and that's the guy in that league.
The guy I would like to see it become, the more I think about it, is Brown. I just think Brown's got a little bit of that F you mentality. Screw you, I'm doing it my way.
So again,
and I think that's good.
Our dime store cop show analysis on headshot versus backshot. Who emailed me that said, you actually go for the back because there's less margin for error? In other words... This is so stupid. I have no freaking clue. Some email just said, you know, you can miss if you go for the head. And you go for the torso, it's a safer shot.
I mean, yeah, you got me. I don't know.
Me neither.
I don't know. But look, I suppose that people that understand that a whole, you know, that world and that way of thinking know that there are places where you can shoot someone and do, you know, fatal damage and other places not fatal damage. You know, so now which one was this? I have no idea. You're asking the wrong guy.
Same. Okay, so we have NBA thoughts, Kevin Durant thoughts on the table. We'll get to some Bruins stuff this hour as well. We'll get to take a 90-second update here from Murray, and then right back to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.